powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
Wanted to get back to a conversation we had to start the show because a lot of people were sounding off on it, so I wanted to move it forward and give everyone a chance to jump back in. I'll keep an eye out for your texts as we look at ways to move the conversation forward. So you guys, if you disagree or agree or want to get an idea in, go ahead and text it to the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. Going to make this a little more interactive here. Not the most encouraging report, Bump, on the Mariners' free agency pursuits from Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic. He said shortly after the season ended, GM Jerry Dipoto told reporters his preference would be to land a shortstop who would be willing to play second base. As we know, they'd like to keep JP at shortstop. So he said instead, they're more likely to pursue a left-handed hitting second baseman. We knew all of this. Pause. It continues. Who can platoon with Dylan Moore? And I don't love the idea of getting a second baseman who's platooning with Dylan Moore as opposed to a guy that is going to be a serious upgrade in your lineup. He goes on to say that the Brewers' Colton Wong, because they could use some other guys too, the Brewers' Colton Wong earning $10 million is one option at second. But the Mariners could also pursue more affordable options who would remain with the team longer. Now, this is just a report, though Ken Rosenthal is incredibly well-connected, and I'm guessing this comes from a lot of sentiment that he's heard about the Mariners, that they would like a second baseman to platoon with Dylan Moore. They aren't going to go after one of the top shortstops, and that they may still be looking at affordable options in free agency.
Affordable?
Yes.
Are they on a budget? Are they on the same... They got the same salary I got? I got a budget. I got a budget my week out.
Everyone's got a budget, so that's where I want to move it forward, okay? It's not the most encouraging report. What do we do with it? How do we move it forward? Someone earlier texted in, the reality is Jerry has a budget. Maybe one or two teams have a truly unlimited budget. I want him to do the most with what he can. Here's my response to that. You're right, and that only a handful of teams are willing to go over that competitive balance threshold and pay the luxury tax and do all that stuff. I am not expecting personally, nor should I expect the Mariners to spend like the Mets, to spend like the Dodgers, because it's just, you're just working to spend like the Yankees. You're just working with different money in that case. Steve Cohen just genuinely has a ton of money he's willing to spend.
Get a loan or something.
Get a loan. Can you take a PPR, small business loan? However.
I just don't like the word affordable.
Yes, because the Mariners can spend more than they are.
Yeah.
Do you need to spend like Cleveland if you're the 12th, 13th, 14th biggest market? No, you can spend more.
Yeah.
That's where I'm stuck. I'm not asking them to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
No.
I'm asking them not to be 22.
We can be realistic, right? You don't have to be the top 5 when it comes to spending. But let's not be 12. Can we be like 8? Can we be like 7 or something like that?
You could absolutely. The Mariners have money.
You got money.
And people, it's not your money.
Exactly. The people who are cautious.
It's again, not your money.
I always try to understand the other side, right? Someone who's not thinking the way that I think. And I'm thinking that there is a window right here. You have young talent. You got some arms. You just picked up two pitchers who should be here for a while, Castillo and Robbie Ray. And then you got some young guys behind them. You got Cal. You got your catcher. Since you have all of that stuff, there's an opportunity here for you to be good for the next 5 to 6 years if you go out and you spend some money. You do some things that you haven't done. This year, you've already done some things that you haven't done. You made it to the playoffs. You won a playoff series. That should be incentive enough to be like, okay, I'm going to go a little bit out of what I'm comfortable doing when it comes to spending. You know what I mean? It's like, you know what they have to do? They got to take my wife shopping with them, because when I shop, I'm like, I'm bargaining. I'm like, I don't know if I should get that.
Like, let Jennifer bump this.
Jenna be my ear like, hey, just get it. You want it? It looks good on you, right? Just go get it, right? You need someone to give them that extra push. And maybe,
that's right.
Maybe Hollander is that guy, you know, him being promoted. Maybe he's the guy to be in.
I'm going to call up Justin and just, you deserve
it. Hey, Justin.
You guys deserve this.
Come on, Justin.
You've worked so hard.
You work extremely hard for this. Go get it. Spin some cheddar.
From the 206 on the Mac and Jack's text line, join this conversation, 866-979-3776. I agree with the 206. There are no top free agents to play second base. any that would like seriously entice you. And to ask one of those shortstops to move and then pay them $200 million, I don't think they would do it. Completely agree.
Yeah.
I think what I'm looking at is that I would love for the general sentiment to be one of aggression in an offseason, knowing that you have a superstar, the likes of which you haven't had in 20 plus years here in Seattle.
Well, and also you can move J.P. Crawford to second.
Or you can move J.P. Crawford to second. Ryan Roland-Smith has made a pretty good case for J.P. staying at short, but like if they were to bring in Carlos Correa, would I be mad? No. Do I expect it? Absolutely not. But like you could upgrade at short.
At least lie to us. Even if you expect to go the affordability route, put it out there to your fans, people following you, that you're going to be aggressive. Because then you cannot be aggressive. We're not in the war room with you. We're not sitting down. We're not on the email thread and going back and forth talking about moves or whatnot. But at least let your fans think that you are going to go all in on this. And then if it doesn't work out, it just doesn't work out because that's business, right? It doesn't always work out the way that you planned it. So I would at least want them to lie to me and tell me that you're going to be extremely aggressive. We're going to do everything we can to make sure we capitalize on this moment in Mariners history.
Now, Mike Salk, a morning show host here, as you guys know, has made a case that maybe free agency isn't the best way to add, that maybe spending a ton of money on free agents isn't the absolute best way to build your team. I think there's a case to be made that like drafting and developing or even acquiring via trade are really effective ways to get it done. Okay, fine. Then do those things. You don't have enough time to draft and develop all of the bats you need. I'll just say that right now. And frankly, they've really struggled to draft and develop great bats. They have a lot of guys they've traded for that have worked out. If you're willing to make those trades, by all means, make those trades. I know you got to deal from a place of strength. I mean, you're going to sacrifice an arm that you really like. You're going to sacrifice an arm in your farm system you really like. You're going to sacrifice maybe from your bullpen. So it's going to come at a cost. The reality is, however you decide to do it, you need to upgrade. You need to upgrade. Curtis, you said it. To go from 90 wins to 95 is sometimes harder than going from 80 to 90. And in order to do it, you need to be that much better than everyone else. Houston got better. Can we say Seattle's gotten better?
You've kind of gone laterally. Teoscar Hernandez is a great piece, but when he's at full health and when Mitch Haniger is at full health, they're about the same kind of player. The Mariners haven't added in anywhere else. They signed a bullpen arm Trevor Gott the other day, but who knows if he's going to be able to match what Eric Swanson's done. It doesn't feel like the Mariners are better now than they were in the playoffs.
Do you know what I hear when I hear the phrase draft and develop? 3 to 4 years, maybe 3, 4 years. I'm looking at Castillo. My man's about to be 30 on the 12th.
Yeah.
Robbie Ray is 31.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, these guys, we just signed these dudes. They don't have that much time to waste. Let's do it right now. So draft and develop, I get it in the long run. That's probably the more sustainable type of thing. But like I said, you got to seize the moment. This is the moment this year, these next couple of years, is your moment to get recognized in this game as one of the best, as contenders. So draft and develop, I understand that approach. And I think that has been the approach for a while. But right now, man, go spend some money.
From the 619, I hate the money argument. They don't spend and people get mad about it's not your money. And then if they foolishly spend money or signing doesn't pan out, the front office is criticized for spending the money. I will say this, 619, I do think there are people that do that. You're onto it with that. However, I will never criticize a team for trying to win. Will I criticize moves? Will I say, hey, I didn't love that signing? Will I, in hindsight, with the benefit of hindsight, wish something else might have been different?
Yeah,
because we all do that as fans. I will never, ever criticize the Mariners for trying to win. And if you're a fan, you shouldn't. You're not going to make every perfect move.
No.
The Dolphins have gotten a ton of credit as a front office for doing what they did to go acquire Tyreek Hill that we've all completely overlooked. The fact that they were penalized a draft pick because of their owner. Right? Like, we've completely overlooked some of the missteps that they've had as an organization because they've done other things well. Not every move has to be great. But if fans can see improvement and see that you've taken a step forward, like Robbie Ray. People were like, well, they added Robbie Ray, and that was dumb. You wouldn't be in the playoffs without Robbie Ray.
Right, right.
I know you feel like you're out of it or you lost to the Houston series because of that, or maybe you blame it on service, but the Mariners were trying to win when they got him.
You know what you want to see? Just like you want to see players when they're out in the field, the diamond, the core, whatever, effort. Right, you can work with somebody who's giving you effort where you're like, he's leaving it all out there. It might not be perfect, but my guy or my girl, they're going at it. Mm-hmm. That's what we want to see with the front office. Effort, right? Yeah. Throw your name in there. Have those conversations.
Yeah.
Fly that dude out on that
Get into the fight. Get into the fight and say, I want the AL West. I'm not fighting for a wild card. I'm looking at Houston trying to knock Houston off. I hate that idea of like, okay, well, you know, Houston's going to win the West, and so you got to do this.
Nah.
Why? I just think the ceiling for this team could be so unlimited. And I think that when you have the right people, sometimes talent does outweigh pure spending. Like, you know, a team can spend a ton of money and get really, really talented players. But if you have a generational talent like Julio and then surround him with a ton of talent, sometimes that's the difference.
So I'm gonna just say, all right, they're playing possum. They're playing possum. They're going after it. I saw part of
the game.
That's
what possum. Wait, that's playing possum. I thought playing possum was playing dead.
It's like you're playing dead. Like you're not. I'm saying they're not in it. You know, they're acting like they're not.
Got it.
We're good.
The old rope-a-dope.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, rope-a-dope. That's probably a better analogy. Oh, rope-a-dope. Right? Because during the offseason too, you don't want to let everyone know what your moves are as well. So let's just say these guys are in the office and they're like, we got it. We playing them right now. We're going affordable. No one thinks that we're going to be in the fight, but low key, they're texting your girl on the side, just waiting for you to mess up. Just waiting for you to mess up.
Wow. Sneaky. I got to say, actually, 99% of the texts I'm seeing right now on the Mac and Jack's text line are people saying, absolutely, spend more, be aggressive, try to win now. I've waited too long. The vast majority of people want to see this team do it.
Yeah.
Why do we doubt that they will? Because I do. I'm going to be completely upfront. But if you question whether they do, or if this news from Ken Rosenthal kind of made you go, please no. Why?
Because you've seen it before. You know, I feel like just like you've been waiting 21 years for a playoff berth, you've been waiting a few years for them to make a major move. Now, they've made some moves and it hasn't worked out, right? Everyone always points to Cano. But they were trying. You know what I'm saying? They were trying to get it done. They were trying to make a move. Now, you can't just make one move. So that's the thing about sports, too, man. You got to make moves that complement the move that you just made, that complements a move you made two moves ago last year, right? That's the thing about sports. It's got to be the perfect combination of everything. That's for teams that have won. What's the perfect combination for teams that have won? They spend a lot of money. Their pitching's on point, and when it's time to get into the playoffs, those bats are hot.
And even then, sometimes it's not enough.
And even sometimes it's not enough. But you got to get lucky.
It's not enough.
You
exactly.
have to get luck. Luck has to be on your side. So a lot of things need to happen. We just want to see the effort.
I think that's exactly how I feel, Curtis. I know that you were really frustrated when you saw this report earlier. And again, it's a report. The Mariners. Yeah. It's early in free agency. Few teams have made big moves.
Yeah, the thing that bothers me the most is the whole, you know, oh, I don't know if they'll be able to afford Colton Wong, who's making, what, $10 million this season, and another lateral move from what Adam Frazier was a year ago. And I feel like if $10 million is going to separate you is going to be the thing that separates you from wanting to spend this offseason, then it's like, why are we even doing this? Like, why are we even, you know, trying to hang with the big boys, if that's the dollar amount that you're not willing to go out and spend,
then
what's the point of trying to compete with the Astros and the Dodgers and the Yankees? There is no point because you're clearly not doing enough to hang with those teams.
And it's frustrating.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really, really frustrating.
Yes.
Because the feeling of watching playoff baseball and the feeling that this team, it's like everyone suddenly remembers Seattle's a baseball town,
right?
And can be a baseball town. People love, first of all, people love all sports here.
Yep.
Like the second we get an NBA team, you better believe people are losing their minds.
Can't wait.
I know. That's why the Storm gets so much support too. We love basketball too. But Seattle can be a baseball town, and it has been a baseball town. And you saw that kind of come back to life a little bit. Imagine if you go deeper into that. We're still waiting for a playoff win here in Seattle.
Yeah.
You know, I'm grateful for what this season was. I hope that the Mariners are hungry for more. I know they are, but are they going to follow it up? You know what I mean? Like, I don't question the drive.
Question the execution?
But I guess I question the early reports I've heard about what feels like a hesitancy to be aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that unfortunately for them, they are a couple steps away from being a World Series team as opposed to one move.
You know, it reminds me of them not really making a move before the trade deadline. It seems like they were just waiting for Mitch Haniger. Like, we got enough already. We're just waiting for Mitch. I wonder if they look at this team right now and say, we have enough. Obviously, we made the playoffs. We won a series. Mm-hmm. We don't need to make a huge splash during this offseason because of what we have coming back. Maybe they're looking at Winker and saying, he was just hurt. We're going to get that all-star back.
But are you going to have all your starters in your rotation stay healthy all year again?
Which was extremely lucky.
Nope. Nah. That's what I'm saying. It's like you can't look and say, oh, we were so close without also acknowledging everything that went in your favor. You played great postseason baseball, too. Mm-hmm. You didn't really struggle big time offensively. You gave Houston a run for their money, and you came back. The bats got hot late against the Blue Jays for a fantastic series sweep. That was great offense, I thought, for the Mariners in the postseason. However, we remember the Mariners.
The Mariners.
Those bats were not hot.
They were not hot.
They were not hot.
I have to read this. 206. Yeah. I went to 8 home games and bought like 20 hot dogs. I know the Mariners made last year. Take those profits and get a player.
Do you know how many hard seltzers I got? I got you at least one second baseman. Just me alone should be
enough.
How
many times I went to Dippin' Dots?
You go there with three kids, you paid for half the infield. All right, let's get to 4 down territory.
This is 4 down territory. Going inside the game with former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
First down, we know the Rams are struggling, but this is the NFL. So what's something the Rams do well?
They are actually pretty good against the run. I mean, they're only giving up, let me pull my notes up here. They're only giving up 97 yards per game on the ground. That's good enough for 4th in the NFL. What have the Seahawks been struggling with as of late? Running the football. So if I'm the Rams, I'm sure I'm looking at the Seahawks saying, all right, there's something that we can attack them. Now, like I said, 97 yards per game, that's 4th in the league. Against Atlanta, they gave up 90 rushing yards. We know what Atlanta did to us, ran all over us. Against San Francisco, they gave up 88 rush yards. We know what San Francisco does, loves to run the rock. But they gave up .163 to the Cowboys. So you're hoping they have more of a Cowboys-like performance. Also, Aaron Donald probably isn't going to play. They are good against the run. Aaron Donald's not going to be there. The Hawks have been struggling. That's something I'm going to pay attention to.
Second down. Pay a little more attention to the Seahawks side of things. What needs to be the focal point for the Seahawks offense?
Take care of the football. We need a game without turnovers, all right? Turnover differential, the Rams are -7. That's 29th in the NFL. 17 giveaways, 11 picks, 6 fumbles. Take care of the football. The Seahawks in the turnover differential are +4. That is 5th in the NFL. So just get back to doing what you've been doing. We need a game where there aren't 2 or 3 throws where you might want to have back, no interceptions, no fumbles. You need to play clean football. Run the rock, play some clean football. You should be able to handle the Los Angeles Rams.
I mean, the thing is, turnovers will sink even great teams. Yeah. Earlier this morning, we were looking at the Broncos, like, total points scored in different games to see, like, well, you know, they'd only scored 22 times or whatever. Curtis was looking at, like, a 2000 Cleveland Browns team. Whatever. We were having sports bit conversations.
Right.
And I was surprised because I remembered that the Broncos had that the 49ers had lost to the Broncos. And I was like, there's no way. I completely forgot about this game. Why? 3 turnovers.
Yep.
49ers are a great team. 3 turnovers are enough to do you in.
Lose a turnover battle. Yep. You lose a special team battle. Yep. You're probably going to lose the game.
All right. 3rd down. What matchup are you looking forward to seeing this weekend?
Good old 54, now number 45.
Man.
Bobby Wagner. First game against the Seattle Seahawks. Is it going to be emotional? I'm looking at his interactions before the game. I'm sure he's going to show some love. But this is going to be weird seeing 54, now 45, over there with the Rams making some plays. He's had a decent year. 90 tackles, 3 sacks, 4 tackles for loss, 3 passes defended. He's played every single snap on defense for the Rams. We talk about this man getting old and maybe losing a step. He's out there, man. So it's going to be weird. But I just want to see the interactions. Are there any cheap shots? Anybody going to mess with Bobby a little bit? So I'm looking for B-Wag, see what that looks like.
It's weird that they haven't played the Rams yet. I mean, yeah. Obviously we know that, but I keep thinking like, oh, yeah, we haven't seen Bobby Wagner face the Seahawks still. Yep. And this one's on the road. You're going to end with the Rams at home, seeing Bobby Wagner at home. Because that's right. You are bookmarked by Russell Wilson at home and Bobby Wagner back at home. 4th down. What's a game to watch this weekend besides the Seahawks game, of course?
Yep, you got to watch the Seahawks, but you got to look at this 49er game. Mm. These guys are playing the Miami Dolphins. If there's a game they can lose within the next 6 weeks, this is a game that they can lose. Tua and the squad throws a ball all over the field. They run it a little bit. Tua has 10 touchdowns, zero interceptions since being knocked out of the game a few weeks back with a concussion. I'm looking at their schedule, and I go, okay, after them, they got Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay could pose a challenge. We see what they did to us. Then you have us. You have the Commanders, Las Vegas, and Arizona. If it's not Miami, if it's not Tampa, it's got to be us or even the Commanders. Crazy, I'm saying, and they're 7-5.
Yeah.
But if the Niners lose this game, the Hawks win this game, now they only have the tiebreaker over the Seattle Seahawks at 7-5, both teams at the top of this division. And then you can take care of business, all right, when you play them at home and get that W. So this is a huge week for the division. If you want to get back in this division, I feel like this is the week where it can possibly go down because I don't see them losing to Tampa. I think the Hawks can give them a run for their money. And after that, you got the Commanders, Vegas, Arizona. Anybody can get it. You know how the league goes. But I think this is a big week for the division.
Congratulations. All of us just became Dolphins fans. Huge Miami Dolphins. You know what we've always said, Curtis?
Go Fins.
Go Fins. Us Dolphins fans have always said that. All right, let's see what's on tap. Powered by Madden Industrial Craftsman. You got Thursday night Bills, Pats, but I also got a little bit of news here I'm going to throw in. The Seahawks have claimed safety Jonathan Abram off of waivers. The 26-year-old former first-round pick was waived by the Packers yesterday. He was initially claimed by the Packers November 10th, just a short stint with them. Bump, do you like the move, and what does it tell you?
I do like the move, actually. And you can look at his time with the Raiders, and he definitely underwhelmed, right? Underperformed over there. First round pick, 27th overall. He has, what, 3 interceptions for his career. You're expecting a bit more, but what I always say, sometimes a change of scene could be the best thing for a player. And this is a move that corresponds with the Ryan Neal scare and the backup safeties not performing at a high level. I'm talking about the backup to Ryan Neal. We know Ryan Neal is backup to Jamal, but the backups to Ryan Neal have not been performing. There was a play to end the game to where if one of those safeties come downhill and make the play, they probably forced the Raiders to, who knows what happens after that. So I like the move. I'm no psychic. I can't predict what would have happened, but the game would have went a bit longer rather than just one play for 86 yards. But I like the move. Let's see what he does. Get this guy acclimated. Throw him out there. Let him run around.
Same thing that Packers reporters were saying a while ago, right? Young, former first-round pick. See what happens. You don't really lose anything here. I have to issue a correction before we hit the break. I said that the Seahawks season was bookmarked by Russ and Bobby. I meant bookended.
Bookended.
A listener has...
They got you.
That's what I meant
They're good
to
for
say.
That.
What I meant to say was bookended. You know, sometimes when you think about it, the bookmark, you put it at the beginning or end of the book. So it sometimes the bookmark is, you know, Curtis is nodding, is sometimes it is at the beginning and end of something.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean.
Maybe.
Yeah. I'm just saying sometimes it does happen. You could put a bookmark anywhere.
You know
anywhere.
What happens in life sometimes? You just got to take the L.
Root Sports, Allison Lucan joins us next. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
The Seattle Kraken, the hottest team in Seattle right now. They're going to be looking for win number 7 in a row coming up here to help us preview that game and also talk about what's been working so well. Root Sports, Allison Lucan joining us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Allison, before I even get started, you didn't have a slip up yesterday. However, you were credited with one. What happened?
Well, yes, there is a term in hockey that is called shinny. S-H-I-N-N-Y. And it refers to hockey that is just pickup game, playing loose, playing with a lot of ice, not a lot of structure, chaotic. And we were watching those first two periods. That is what we were watching. I used the term on air, and people who maybe weren't familiar with the term thought I said something that, first of all, I would never say on air, and second of all, I certainly wouldn't say to describe the Seattle Kraken, especially this year. So the term is shinny. And it is a type of very loosely played hockey.
It's our new favorite word. We've been saying it all day.
It is.
I love it. Love it.
Allison, not going to lie, I saw the clip and I just showed my wife and she's like, oh my God. And she's so calm about it. I go, then I had to let her know what you were talking about. And then I had to look it up exactly what that meant. I'm going to go out and say, I like some shinny golf.
Yeah.
I mean golf.
Yes.
shinny hockey.
Yeah.
Allison, it was fun to watch. I know as a hockey enthusiast, as an analyst, as a person who knows the game better than anyone here, is that frustrating for you to watch or do you enjoy watching that type of play?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's both, right? Because first of all, I think it's proper to celebrate how much offense the Kraken team has. I think that's really exciting. That's a big step for them. That's what they wanted to do this year. But you know, at the same time, we also know that long term throughout the season, you can't win games if you play like that every night. So you want to see some structure. You want to make sure that the team can lock it down in terms of their identity when they need to. But you have to appreciate when a game has some fun. And when it turns out to go the Kraken's way, that makes it even a little bit easier to take.
When you look at where the Kraken have improved this year, offense is, you know, obviously an area. It's really exciting. I love goals. Everyone loves goals. It's like how everyone loves dingers, right? Everyone loves touchdowns. Yes. But defense is always important. It's interesting, Allison, that you mentioned identity, because when this team was formed through the expansion draft, I thought it would be like a physical, and if anything, like a team with defense and goaltending as a strength. How's the defense been this year?
Yeah, it's a great point. And that is what I think a lot of people expected, right? Was defense and goaltending. And the twist of last year was they were defensively strong and goaltending just wasn't where anyone wanted it to be, including the people who were playing that position. They knew that. So they are strong defensively. And it's a really great point because defense in the NHL is changing. And you're still going to get those big hits, but it's a lot more about positioning, holding on to the puck, taking away space so a skater can't go to where they want to go versus just knocking them off the puck. So they are doing a really good job limiting attacks against, but it looks a little different than maybe we have thought about hockey traditionally.
I've seen a couple of texters throughout the days talk about how the Kraken have struggled to kill power plays. Is that true? And what are you seeing there?
Yeah, it's kind of feast or famine for them. And unfortunately, it is true. They either kill all the penalties off and they look really good doing it, or they give up multiple power play goals against. And they've done that these last two games. And, you know, back to our original point, at least they have the offense to overcome that. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, when you're down a skater, it comes to just you can't make any little one mistake. And a couple times last night, even, you know, it was failing to get the puck out of the zone, not only to take away the scoring opportunity, but also to give your skaters time to change and get some fresh legs on the ice. So it's just when you have the opportunity to make an impact, make it and make it the right way, and just erasing those mistakes. That's what it's going to come down to.
All right. I don't want to be too general when I just say offense. So let's look at one specific area. It doesn't even have to be, you know, goal scoring. But Allison, where's an area with this Kraken team where you think they've taken a really nice step forward this year? And what do you think was the impetus or cause of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's. I'm going to point to the new players and say it's finishing. You can measure a player's ability to put the puck in the net, and it's more than just shooting percentage. You can say how good are they at placing the puck and getting it in the net. And with Oliver Bjorkstrand, while he hasn't gotten the pucks to fall as much as I'm sure he would want, and definitely Andre Burakovsky, you're adding two players who really have that finishing skill. And here's how that trickles down, is that when you have other players on the team who are still very good, maybe not at that level, but when they see other players getting goals, it takes the pressure off. And so it makes it easier to be loose and to take chances and to attack. You're not trying for the perfect shot. You're not holding onto your stick too tight. So everyone starts to pick up on the good vibes, and it makes everyone's job and everyone's ability to contribute offensively just a little bit easier.
Allison, you've mentioned that the game has changed a bit. You're not going to have those big hits as frequently as we were used to seeing, at least growing up. So since the game has changed, who is the enforcer on this team, and how physical is this team?
It's a great question. I think when you think about the big physical presence, you know, we've seen Jamie Oleksiak fight. He's obviously literally the biggest player on the team, but of course you have the heart and soul of Brandon Tanev, Yanni Gord, who are not going to pass up an opportunity to either ruffle an opponent's feathers or defend their teammate if that's what the game calls for. But what I like is we've also seen players like Will Borgen step in, Carson Soucy step in. Now the game is more about letting players police it themselves. And honestly, a lot of guys that maybe people wouldn't expect on this roster have done it if that's what's needed to happen.
Allison, this feels like a dumb question to ask, but I'm asking it sincerely. Are the Kraken good enough to you that you feel pretty confident saying they can be a playoff team?
No, it's not a dumb question at all. It's the question, right? So I think that this team is the reason it feels like they're so much better than last year, first of all, is because last year, I think that group underperformed. We talked about that already. The way this team is playing, not just X's and O's wise, but the confidence that they have and the way they're finding ways to win games bodes well for them being in the postseason. I think that they are still building to the peak of their talent. We look at a young player like Maddie Beniers, who's going to be a big part of this team for a long time to come, and Shane Wright, who's going to be up with this team eventually and a big part of it as well. They're going to get better, and I think if you look at teams that win cups, you can see some space still for improvement. But if the team can keep up consistently like they are now, I would not be surprised to see them playing past the second week of April.
Ooh, love hearing that.
I like it. You mentioned Shane Wright. He's in the desert playing for Coachella right now. From what I'm hearing, he's playing pretty well. What are you hearing about Shane Wright, and how soon should we expect him back up?
Yeah, well, he's played the three games already, and he can only play a maximum of 5 while he's there or be there for a maximum of 14 days. These are just the rules of the technique or the rule that they are using to get him to the AHL right now. So he'll be back eventually after these two games if they use the full extent of what is allotted. But, you know, it's good. It's good to see him score. That, again, goes back to that confidence we were talking about even exists at the big club. I admittedly have not been able to watch all of his games, but I know that he's with a coach in Dan Bielsma who does a great job developing talent. That's a coach who's won a Stanley Cup, and he loves to develop players. So if Shane Wright can continue to see, he has the skill set. It's just about bringing them up to the next level of competition. If he can bring all of those up, we see he's bringing the scoring already. If all the other ones come up as well, then he's ready to make the next step potentially up to the NHL level.
I mean, I think it's very forgivable considering you got a lot of Kraken hockey to watch. And we are benefiting from your coverage and that knowledge. So, Allison, we appreciate you joining us. It's so fun to talk about this team right now. And there's so much to enjoy. They're playing really fun hockey. And I am not as knowledgeable as Bump. I'm probably like some other Seattleites that are kind of like learning as we go. And I love where this team is right now. It makes it easy.
Shinny.
Let's go, Allison. Shinny. That's right. That's right.
Listen, all fans are welcome. There's no requirement for knowledge level, just as long as you come and enjoy it and have fun. And it's such a pleasure to talk to you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Allison. She is Root Sports. Allison Lucan joining us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. We need your questions for What I Need to Know. Wrapping up the show with your guys' questions. Any question you have, text it now to the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. Did you hear Allison tell me I had a good question?
Yeah, she told me I had a great one.
I mean, she told me I had a good one.
So, no, she said you had the question. It wasn't, there was no.
No, I think she said, good question.
Hey, again.
Curtis, did you add my point?
Stacey.
I didn't see you get up. I saw you get up and add Bump's point.
Yeah.
You take an L sometimes.
No, did I? Your questions, our answers next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacey.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, get your questions in. It is What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, Electric. The text line is 866-979-3776. Mac and Jack's text line will take your questions now. Let's start with this one. More likely to win NFC Rookie of the Year, or more likely to win Rookie of the Year, Woolen or Walker?
Woolen. Woolen, because he's going to have a couple more INTs. He's going to break the franchise record for rookies. Mm-hmm. He's going to go to the Pro Bowl. He's going to be a lockdown corner. He's going to follow receivers towards the end of the season. T-Woo.
I think there's a chance Walker takes off at the end of the year. however, this passing offense is really good. Like, I'd love it to be balanced. I think Pete Carroll would like to see the running offense improve. I think it's important that it does. But, like, especially if Wolin gets another pick, at least, and sets that record. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be, you're right, a Pro Bowler.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Wolin. What I need to know, Bump, what's your biggest pet peeve on the golf course?
Biggest pet peeve on the golf course is just talking loud in somebody's swing. Just the regular stuff. Like, you know, for some people, it doesn't matter, right? Like, if I'm on the tee box, if you're talking, like, it doesn't necessarily bother me. But if you're obnoxiously loud or you're golfing with someone you don't really know and you're talking on the tee box, like, shut your face. Just be quiet.
Is it a pet peeve if people take too long? Like, they don't step aside and let people play through?
Oh, my gosh.
I feel like that would be a common pet peeve.
If you are a shankopotamus on the course, wave the good golfers through, please. Just wave them through.
What I need to know, has Stacey ever gracefully taken an L? She could take a lesson from Bump with how graceful he was when the Cougs got demolished by the Dogs.
A texter.
Woo, you took an accidental L in that one. You were a civilian casualty.
Texter, how many apple cups you got, baby?
Oh.
How many career receptions you got, dog?
Dang.
I'll take it gracefully because I got three of them things, all right? Don't come for me.
God. what I need to know, if Russell has a more Russell Wilson-esque season next year, will the trade still look bad for Denver because of the draft picks lost this year?
Yes.
I think so, too, especially if it's top five.
You got Charles Cross out of the deal this year.
Yeah.
Right? And then you're going to get a top 10 pick next year. Even if Russell Ballin is like, Russell could ball next year. Go ahead and do your thing, dog. But this year, it's all about the Hawks.
I know that there are busts, and including some huge draft busts that have been top five picks. That's also where some of the best players are chosen, those top 10 picks, mm-hmm. right? Those are where you get Nick Bosa, where you get, I mean, people, Peyton Manning. I mean, name a famous player. Most likely he was like a Hall of Famer, probably first rounder. Yeah, like it is not often that you will have four overall, mm-hmm. right? And I think losing that will sting.
Yep.
Especially with Russell Wilson accounting for so much of the salary cap. What you'd want is an elite player on a rookie salary, and you won't get that.
Nope.
Related to Russ, this is actually another texter. In 10 years, will we look back on the careers of Cam Newton and Russell Wilson and see parallels in the rapid decline of their abilities?
Will we see it?
I think Cam was more injury-related, though.
Yeah.
He had that shoulder injury. It was never the same.
I agree.
Russ has a Super Bowl. Cam has an MVP. I think you're going to look at that, but you're also going to see it's because who's seeing this? 10 years ago, it's a guy who's 36 years old. You know what I'm saying? Who, that's all he really remembers is just the steady decline. So, yeah, it's going to be tough either way.
Hey, Bump, when the Lakers win the championships, maybe won the championships, did you participate in the parades, and what's the experience for you?
I skipped school 3 times to go to that parade.
Wow.
Yep.
Knowledge is power, Bump.
Skip 3. Went out there. Celebrated. Great experience. Probably shouldn't have been out there. A lot of grown folks that were drunk. But it was fun.
What I need to know, can you have a shinny shuddy? Or are those opposites?
Yes. You can have a shinny shuddy.
Can you?
Yeah, one team can just go nuts with the goals.
Yeah, go nuts.
Or you could have a bad shuddy. That's a late shutty, where the shinny is that both teams go back and forth at nil, and then all of a sudden it's one team gets a goal.
I don't think that works, Stace.
Okay. I'm just thinking.
Shinny, you just got to have a lot of scoring.
You can have, yeah. Oh, right. Okay, then it's not really a shinny.
Like, if you win 10 nothing, that's a shinny shutty.
Shinny shutty.
I feel like for a shinny, you need chaos on both sides.
Yeah, chaos is giving up the putt.
Yeah, true.
No connectivity.
10 goals is pretty chaotic. I mean, 9-8 last night was about as chaotic as it'll ever get.
Next text. I need to know who wins the next championship in Seattle sports.
It's a good one.
That's
tough.
Well, I hope it's the Mariners.
We said we believed in the Mariners in the next 5 years over the Hawks, didn't we? We had that conversation.
I think we did.
Next
a while
5 years,
ago,
and then. You know, they wrote an article about
I don't
it.
Think the Hawks win a Super Bowl this year.
No?
I think that the Mariners are closer. Who are they? Are the Mariners closer to a World
Series? What's the easier road to a championship? Is it the NFL playoffs where you only have to win three games?
Yes.
It's NFL.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that there have been more surprising Super Bowl winners than there have been, like, shocking World Series winners.
Yeah.
There's been World Series upsets, but it is really hard. Like, Stanley Cup, really hard playoffs.
Whenever you're playing a series, man, it's tough.
Are we settling on Mariners?
I think we are.
Because that doesn't feel like close unless they make some moves.
It doesn't, but do the Hawks seem close?
No, I think the Hawks are, I think they get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I think that the Super Bowl is going to be with Kansas City or Philadelphia.
Philly's going to mess it up.
You think they're going to fumble the bag?
They're going to fumble the bag.
You think they will not be in the Super Bowl?
Will not be in the Super
Bowl. Then who from the NFC is in the Super Bowl?
The Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, I'm going to hate Dallas fans so much. Can you imagine Jerry Jones for the entire 2 weeks leading up to that? It's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Prepare yourself.
This has been What I Need to Know, and this has been Bump and Stacey. We will be back tomorrow at 10. Until then, for Michael Bumpus, for Curtis Rogers, I'm Stacey Ross. Do not go anywhere. Wyman and Bob coming your way next.